Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on the fourth edition of Bonus Small Town Murder.
That's two
stuff.
Number twos.
That's two number twos times two, two squared. Fourth. Here we are, guys. So thank you for joining us. First of all, just a quick thing. We don't really want to do like plugs and ads and stuff on the show, but get your tickets to Nashville if you haven't got your tickets to Nashville.
Come hang out.
Come hang out with us. Those tickets are seriously going excessively fast, and it's a small club. We're closing out the festival. The festival's fun to us, and we want to hang out with some people there.
And because of you guys, they invited us to be a part of this.
That's the thing.
It's kind of your reward. It's also our reward.
They were inviting us to this last year during the show.
Right.
They were trying
before the show
while we were doing a live show.
Before we did our show, they said you guys should come back for the festival, and we're going to make that happen.
Because you guys were so enthusiastic, and they were like, "Wow, your audience is awesome." So
and then a man died in the showroom.
And almost. Oh, he lived. He ended up living.
Oh, that man died, and then
eventually.
They brought him back.
Yeah, and eventually, I'm sure he's dead by now. A year later, he had to have OD'd more. I don't think that day turned his whole life around, maybe, but we don't know that at all. So come to our show. A man could die. You never know. It's going to be hilarious and a good time, and you might get to see a death.
What do you do, James, if we get back there and that man shows up again?
I chastise Nashville. If another person ODs in a show, because it's never happened anywhere else.
He comes back just to tell us. What if he comes back to the show?
He's wearing like a cardigan. And
then
he
goes, "You guys, you're not going to believe.
He's clean as a whistle.
I am so good at tennis today."
It's he's wearing a cardigan. He's got his hair done all nicely. He's got some loafers on.
He's got a wife and she's pregnant.
She's nine months pregnant. And it's one of the nurses from the emergency room that worked on him. And it's a very, very nice story. It's beautiful. If that happens, I'll bring that fucking guy on stage. I swear to God. Holy shit. More than likely, though, he's died in a dirty bed somewhere.
That's probably the statistics.
Yeah. Just saying. If he was at that point then. It's
just the numbers.
Not getting better, probably.
No.
We're going to talk about some interesting stuff. We're going to talk about some emails, some questions that you guys have for us that we don't really get to answer in depth.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about show direction and kind of some ideas that we have for future like show stuff that we want to do. The one thing that's the hardest thing about this is you find a case, and I'll find these cases, and then I have to check the town to make sure it's under a certain amount. Right. No one has told, we're not like our advertisers or our network isn't going to yell at us if we do a bigger town.
Right.
All of our rules are self-imposed. That's what's so stupid about it. You don't know how much
you tie your own hands, James?
I tie my own hands. I'm like, I want to compete.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Behind my back. It's true, though, because I'll read a case and I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. Yeah. Fuck, 54,000 people. And then I think, what am I doing? That's still a small town, right? It's not a big place. It's not a giant city.
It's not a big city, that's for sure.
I wish I would have said in the beginning, small town murder is anything outside of the top 30 largest statistical areas in the United States and other countries.
Like, small town murder, if I haven't heard of it, it's too small.
It's fucking too, that's it. I don't know, man, because I hear some of these, and I almost want to do like a murder in the burbs type of thing, like a show that's just about suburbs of big cities. But that's too specific.
We did an ad today for a show that the four cases that they mentioned are fucking great stories.
Oh yeah, they're all great stories.
They're so fascinating.
That's why they made 47 movies about them in the fucking 90s.
But that's the benefit too that we have is that doing it with a small town like that. The majority of them they've never heard of.
That's true.
And the ones that we've done, probably most of these people, apart from the people that are attached to them and were familiar with the cases, they haven't heard of these. Well, that's the beauty of it.
One of them was Amy Fisher, and I find that fascinating.
Oh, it's so good.
Nothing beforehand.
No.
It's just a sleazy auto body guy fucking a teenager, which is just gross, and the whole thing's gross, and she's got problems.
And the way he looks,
he's a fat slob with Zuba pants on, and she's whatever. So, by the movies, the network movies, this has nothing to do with small town murder, but a woman got shot, so technically we're in the ballpark. The movies that the networks made for Joey Buttafuoco, I have them on DVD.
Really?
I've tracked them down because they're the greatest things in the fucking world. But there's two different ones, three different ones, but only two of them really count. One of them is told from Joey Buttafuoco's point of view. It's his story that they bought. And the other one is told from Amy Fisher's point of view.
Oh, my God.
So in one of them, Amy is this nice girl and Joey's just this sleazy, seductive guy who took her in and all this. And in the other one, Joey Buttafuoco's the greatest man on earth. He's the great. Literally, it's Jack Scalia who plays him. And he
really
he's trim and fit and shit. He goes into rehab because he did a bunch of coke, right? He was a big cokehead, and his wife, Mary Jo, was going to leave him because he was doing coke, and it was the 80s, and he had a beard and a mustache. And then he goes into rehab, and he comes out with no beard and mustache, showing that he's clean now, physically. And as he's leaving, it's like he's leaving from camp. It's rehab. As he's leaving, guys are of different ethnicities, of course, because he's really gotten along with everybody.
Builds bridges between
There's guys on the porch hanging out of windows going, "All right, Joey, you go get him, buddy, you go." And he and Mary Jo is standing next to the car in the parking lot waiting for him with a big smile, and they're like, "Is that Mary Jo?" And he's like, "Oh, that's my sweetheart, you betcha." He literally stops, turns to all the people that are like cheering for him to leave, and he goes, "I love Mary Jo," and then he gets in the car with Mary Jo. That's his, not goodbye, I wouldn't shoot my wife in a couple years, I swear. It's the funniest.
I love her, but Amy Fisher doesn't.
Oh, it's the funniest thing in the world. And over the course of this, they show what a great guy he is, and he's so nice, and how Amy's just crazy, and he never touched her. One point, Amy's father says the best line in the fucking world.
Yeah.
Amy's father's like this, I can't remember the actor's name. He's a character actor we've all seen.
Yeah.
And he's just this nervous guy smoking. And he's talking like this, "What are you talking about, Amy? What do you mean? What's happening here?" And he's just chain smoking. Yeah. And he says, and he says fucking, he goes up to Joey Buttafuoco and he says, "Amy said you gave it a herpes." And for some reason, it's the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. "Amy told us you gave it a herpes."
Her dad says that?
Yeah. As proof. And in this particular movie, Amy actually did not get the herpes from Joey, but from some other
she
source.
Had it.
This was the one where this was the Alyssa Milano version.
Oh.
Where Amy was played by Alyssa Milano.
Made her much hotter.
Then the other version, she's played by Drew Barrymore. You can imagine why she'd get out of prison with a big head and be like, you know.
But the Long Island Lolita is Drew Barrymore.
Her accent is fucking
I'm sure it's great.
A repellent in this fucking movie. That's the Amy Fisher, and that one's called The Amy Fisher Story.
All right.
And the other one is like Love and Death on Long Island or some shit. The Long Island Lolita story. No. And so, in this one, though, Mary Jo is supportive. And then in the other one, it's like a hot, like, it's like a fucking, as much sex as the network can get away with, the one with Drew Barrymore. It's like they're showing him fucking and like on the kitchen counter and shit. Gross. It's fucking horrible.
Didn't he have kids with Mary Jo too?
Fuck yeah, he had kids. Yeah.
Fucking where she's making him.
No, fucking at Amy's house, obviously. Yeah, because Amy kept coming over.
Where his kids are making peanut butter and jellies.
Yeah, that's
her. Leaving the herpes on him.
All over. This is a peanut butter and herpes. There you go, kid. It's a PB&H. Get up.
My favorite part is that after it was all over, that her climb back to stardom and back to like newspaper press was doing porn.
Was doing porn
with a dude who, by the way, looks just like Buttafuoco.
I think that was
No. That's her boyfriend, Lou.
Yeah, that's who he's in. She's into.
That she's got a type.
That's what she likes.
Oh boy, does she have a type?
Guido with a fanny pack, Zuba pants.
Absolutely.
Who may or may not own an auto body shop.
And Lou used to be a cop.
Oh Jesus Christ, man!
It's the most disgusting. And like I've seen the porno, and like the way they talk to it, it's gross.
That
like,
seems disgusting.
I'm gonna inspect this. I can't even say the word because it's vile. Because she's a hideous person.
It's funny whenever like a man gets like a big highly publicized trouble. They never want him to do a porn.
No,
ever.
No,
it never happens.
No
one is clamoring for an R. Kelly porn right now. It's not happening. Nobody wants that. But if a woman gets in trouble for anything, people are like, "I'd pay to watch her fuck."
Right.
What is wrong with us as a society?
I don't know. The other part is that the other pave your way back to the mainstream press is just gone. Like there, nobody's
clamoring. She never had any other way other than to shoot a lady in the head.
Yeah, but
she was just a high school student.
Nobody's clamoring for the next Playboy spread of a top model. You know what I mean?
No.
Or a mainstream woman. Nobody's looking for that anymore because nobody cares
they
about
just
that
want,
anymore.
Like a,
they want to see the actual action.
Well, plus too, everybody has like an Instagram where they're taking pictures of themselves in their underwear.
Right.
So it's I think the mystery is, I don't know. I would hope it would be that people are more mature about the naked body nowadays. But I'm going to say no. I'm going to say they just have more access to nudity, so they don't care anymore.
Right. It's really just flying at you every day, all day, everywhere. It's, even just a makeup model is damn near naked
all the time.
And you're trying to show
me fine.
Lipstick?
Whatever you want. Like,
that's fine. I don't.
We're not
shit.
Being puritanical.
No, we don't
give a shit. We're just saying maybe that's why they're not. There's a lack of demand for porn. Where did we get on this road? We really went down a weird road here.
It's just gratuitous at this point.
There you go.
And everything's naked.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Sex sells. It's always been like that.
Shit, yeah.
It'll always sell.
Yeah.
But it's just to sell
we're
me
human.
Sex for corn nuts? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Well, corn nuts maybe. But other products, I'm not so sure. Maybe corn nuts.
I'm not going to fuck anybody after eating those. My breath's going to be a mess.
Oh, God. It's going to smell like whatever flavor it was mixed with corn nuts.
Jesus
oh, look,
Christ.
Ranch corn nuts. Great. So basically, also, so we've talked enough about Amy Fisher and Joey Buttafuoco, but we're going to do some email questions that you guys have been talking about for a while that we've been looking at, and we kind of stack the best ones or the ones we get the most.
We do our best.
Yeah, kind of the ones that we get the most that we kind of try to address those. And we could do it in a little more detail here
people
than
like
we can
to,
on Twitter.
They want to know more like about the show. Like how, they wonder how much gets cut out, which is fucking
nothing.
We give you what we do.
If one of us accidentally says something like silly that can be construed the wrong way,
right.
and it's not like an Andrew Jackson funny moment,
right.
it's actually like, oh, that someone could take that wrong, and
right.
we don't want to represent ourselves the wrong way. But that'll be like, oh, I'll cut that line out and we'll redo it, and
right.
I'll redo it saying something that's
or
not offensive
and
a cough, yeah,
and we drink water and stuff while we do this,
yeah,
and that crackles, that
a
makes
little
noises
bit once in a while,
yeah.
I'll cut that out, or but for the most part, there's not a lot of cuts in this show.
No.
We don't cut large chunks of anything out, which is honestly kind of interesting because it's a tightrope
right.
that we have to walk every fucking week.
Right.
We come with a story. I come with a fucking dry story,
right.
and I have some areas of jokes or humor of where I can go in and
right.
or something. But for the most part, we're just throwing it out there,
yeah.
and we are going on the hope that when we have a conversation, it's funny. That's literally it.
Fingers crossed, James.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. And a lot of shows go off of, we know people in other shows, they go off of a very detailed script.
Yeah.
And it's a word-for-word script that they're reading. And we don't do that.
I can't do that.
I can't. First of all, I don't think it would sound natural.
It would sound so fake for me.
Yeah. Oh, it would sound bad.
Shit.
And from a, well, plus
is
you, don't have,
right,
you don't have the monitor either, so it would be really hard.
Fucking crazy story.
But no, like for me to do that would be weird. I take the court documents and I'm reading court documents and I'll take chunks and I'll put them in my own words so it's simpler or I'll do bullet points or sometimes I'll have a paragraph of like a word for word court document that I basically copied and pasted and then I go in and I can't read that word for word. It sounds like a robot is talking. So I have to, as I'm reading it, I have to translate it and into layman terms and half the shit I'm trying to figure out myself. And put it in my own words on the fly as I'm doing it, which is a fucking...
That's a tightrope.
It's a tightrope. And then I have to try to throw a dick joke on the end of it. And then you have a dick joke to answer that. And then I have to answer your dick joke and get back on track. So we...
And then we got to hope that...
It's a tough act
that
we have.
That your digestion of whatever that legal jargon was, we got to hope that you're right because...
Yeah, because I might be wrong.
I sure as fuck don't know.
You're not going to know if I'm right or wrong because I don't know shit either. So I'm just trying my best.
And somehow we get emails from people that are lawyers or in the law field.
Yeah.
And they're like, you guys do top quality.
And we laugh. And laugh.
You guys do top quality. What am I looking for? Translation.
Translation.
Legal jargon.
Interpretation.
Interpretation. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the word.
Yeah.
And somehow we do a great job.
I don't understand how that works.
Yeah.
But it's weird. All I do is read. Mm-hmm. If you read a court document enough, and this, because I've had a lot of people ask me this too at live shows, where do you find stuff?
Yeah.
Like I find court documents and they're like, oh, really? really? Are they hard to read? And I'm like, well, sometimes. They'll usually give you like a, here's the facts of the case, and those are told in just a dry, straightforward fashion. Right. And then we get into appeals and legal shit and, you know, motions and shit like that. Then I have to read, and what it'll do is it'll cite other cases, and it'll say, you know, based on this case, we can't do this. So then I have to look up that case to find out what that said, to then understand why they're doing what they're doing in the first case. And I don't know anything. I didn't go to fucking, I didn't graduate from high school. Do you understand this? I shouldn't be looking up law cases. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
I would have failed high school, like I almost did, and I only graduated.
Well, I just stopped going. It was a matter of that. My parents moved away. My dad moved to North Carolina, and I went, all right, I guess I'll stop going to school now. No one's telling me to go.
I only graduated because my counselor told the I'm probably going to get her in trouble. Jesus Christ.
I think it was 20 years ago.
Yeah,
I think
probably okay, they probably don't give a shit.
Got to be a statute of limitations.
Take my diploma away?
I don't think it'll matter much. Hey, guys, everybody stop listening. If Jimmy gets his diploma taken away, it's going to be over for you, Jimmy, your whole career.
The fucking counselor didn't tell me that I needed an elective to graduate. Oh, shit. And I don't know because I'm stupid and 17 and I drink. That's all I give a shit about.
Yeah.
And
at 17, yeah.
Right. So then she took me to the teacher that taught the class and was like, if he needed the whole class to graduate, he needs a whole credit. And we're in the second quarter of high school now. And the teacher was just like, if anybody asked, he was here all year. And I'm like, well, this is fucking weird.
Look at me, awesome.
Benefiting like the mafia right
that's
now.
That's tremendous. That's good stuff.
And that's the only reason I have a diploma is because of shit like that.
Not too shabby.
That's my whole life, though. Everywhere I go, there's something weird that shouldn't be happening. Do you know what I mean?
You're very lucky.
You've had a lucky... I do have a weird luck charm somewhere.
A weird existence of luck. It's
probably because I'm playing with the house's money. I should have been dead years ago.
Well, you got that. I had bad shit happen when you were a kid, so maybe you're feeding off the car. Karmic payback of that, I think, maybe.
Who knows?
You had some bad shit happen, so I think maybe you have a couple more years of karma. You're going to hit about 45, and then you're going to start having a shit life like the rest of us.
Or die of a massive stroke like Luke Perry.
Yeah, there you go. You don't want to have a Luke Perry
Fingers
stroke.
Fingers crossed.
I don't know. That is terrible.
That sounds fantastic.
Well, he actually did die. Yeah, if you have a massive stroke, you want to go out.
Yeah, I don't want to stick around.
You
want
to stick around shitting your pants for the next 10 years.
Drooling all over yourself and not being able to wipe your face.
That sounds awful. What else do we have for questions? You have questions.
Doing
there.
The research though, how long does how many hours a week do you put into research?
It depends on the case a lot. Crime and sports takes longer.
Yeah.
Crime and sports takes longer. If you guys think this is detailed, crime and sports, because this is a one case thing. Most of these people, they're not in the public eye.
Yeah.
They live their lives. You talk about, they have, you know, you can read about they were a teacher and they worked over here and they lived here and they used to live here. And then that's it. And then they have this big murder thing that you talk about. So you're only really looking at one event, unless it's like a Jablonski from a couple weeks ago where that's a whole other thing.
There's so many states involved in that.
It's so many different murders and shit to keep straight, times and prison stints and which lady did he kill when he got out of prison this time? But crime and sports, you'll get someone who's been, let's say, we do Jose Canseco, who we've done. That guy's been in the public eye for 30 years.
Right.
Over 30 years. It's been almost 35 years.
He doesn't take a break. He doesn't even try to hide.
And it's 35 years of crazy.
Yeah.
So what I have to do is sift that shit out like a gold miner and try to find out what are the biggest crazy nuggets that stay in my fucking screen that we can talk about because there's so much.
That's bananas.
It takes a long time. But this, I mean, it's definitely over 40 hours. Let's put it that way. This is more than a full-time fucking job to do the research and then the editing.
Yeah.
So I do the editing. I do everything. When you read a title and read the description, I wrote that. We don't have a fucking intern where we
teams.
Go post that shit and make something up. Like that's me sitting up there with Sarah next to me eating peach rings going, when are you going to be done? And I'm going, hold on. We'll watch that in a minute. You know, we watch Rotten to Watch TV. Me wanting to try and upload this shit before 12 a.m. Eastern time because we want to get it up by midnight.
Right.
So we are not liars, basically.
From the comedy aspect, because you're a comedian, and you've done a lot of comedy and you're around a lot of comedy. You're around the best comedy. We both get to see some of the greatest joke tellers sling funnies.
We've got to sit in rooms with them and hear how shitty they are as human beings.
What's the best joke you've ever heard?
the best joke yeah. I've ever heard in yeah. stand-up.
Yeah, and anywhere, really. Just
best in terms of, okay, now this is where we're going to get into.
You can't go simplistic. You can do it for whatever reason. There's a reason that jokes are great.
The best in terms of, holy shit, that's brilliant, yeah. or the best in terms of, that just fucking tickles me for some reason.
And it's your favorite thing.
And it's my favorite yeah. thing. Okay, I'll give you the tickle me for some reason.
Do that.
Favorite thing. That is Bill Burr
yeah.
on his first album. Uh-huh. He's like 12 years old. No, he's young, and it is not a polished Bill Burr from right. now. This is like 2002.
Yeah.
This is young Bill Burr, when the whole time he's talking about how, you know, I sleep on a fucking futon. Yeah. Like, I you know, he's got no money.
Right.
He's fucking nobody. He's just a good comedian.
Right.
He tells a joke about the, I think it's the 6 train in New York, about yeah. the, ow, you're hurting my neck,
yeah.
about seeing a like domestic violence situation going
it's
on.
The one that smells like piss, where and if everybody brought
that's
that
Philadelphia.
Okay.
It's that set.
Got it.
That emotionally that's, unavailable yeah. filmed in a, I think it's got to be.
Was it's it, in Pennsylvania
it's,
somewhere.
It's in Philly, yeah. definitely. I just don't know what club it's at. Okay. I assume Punchline. But,
or Helium.
Or one of them. Yeah, that's true. One of the yeah. two. But he talks about that there. But this is the on the train, and he goes, ow, you're hurting my neck. He never does shit like that, and it's the silliest fucking joke yeah. ever. And every time I hear it, I can't help but fucking crack up laughing. And there's jokes that are like brilliant, where I'm yeah. like, that's just fucking brilliant. And right. those all aside, my favorite, honestly, progression joke, because I like a joke that like progresses, and that's how mine are.
Like
that's how I try to write.
A story, or just like a quick joke?
It can be a story, but I like a joke that starts in one place, ends up in some place completely different,
yeah.
but is a not just to be farcical, but right. It makes sense. Yeah. It has to make sense. I like Dan Cummins a lot, our yeah. buddy Dan.
Yeah.
I really like his stand-up, because it's he's angry like I am,
right.
which is good, but he has a structure where it's his structure yeah. alone.
Right.
And I love the joke he tells about wanting to kill the guy at Starbucks wanting a strawberry smoothie.
Yes.
And he's going to kill
smoothie
the man.
Guy. Is it a smoothie king?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't even think he says the place.
He's going to fucking murder this man. And he goes through this whole thing, and you're like, yeah, and you want this guy to die, and you want to kill him. And he's like, and then the cops would come, and I'd be like, one of my smoothie. And he was on his phone, and he's like, total jerk. like they'd be like, oh, we'll get you right out of here, yeah. sir. How dare you? Shouldn't have to look at him anymore. Come on, let's go. I love
put that police blanket yeah. on you and walk you out.
It's one of my favorite fucking jokes because of that. And also, it's one of my favorite jokes because I love the progression, and yeah. I love the silly. And I love it's my after my own heart and anger.
And it goes as far as you can go with
yeah,
murder.
It's because I do that too. Yeah. So Dan's a man after my own heart and stand up. And what about you? I know you,
Gary Gullman.
I was going to say, is it the Gary Gullman joke
a
you
joke
we talk
about? And it's fairly new, but it's just so goddamn perfect about the state abbreviations that it's all fake. It's all bullshit. There's no documentary, but he writes a joke about a documentary about them naming abbreviating states, and it's so fucking masterful. And he did it on TV, and it almost ruined him because he's a fucking mess like me. But go look at it. It's on Conan,
he's great.
Gary Gullman,
such a great comic.
State abbreviations. And you'll lose your mind with how fucking it's masterful.
Gary's a guy you might not even know who he is,
yeah.
but you fucking should if you like comedy, because he's
heard
a great
jokes.
Stand-up.
You heard jokes that he does.
I mean, if you say Gary Gullman, your average person goes, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
Like the on Family Guy, the Tom Segura. We know he's a great comic,
right.
but you take Joe Schmo
right.
somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and he's going to go, Tom Segura? He doesn't know who the fuck it is.
And those two words together are fucking
They're
hilarious.
They're fucking hilarious.
If you don't know who that
yeah.
is.
And he's been really good lately, too. Yeah. Tom Segura's found his voice like
yeah.
hardcore in the
boy.
Last two specials. He's fucking honed in on yeah. what he's doing in the last like 3 years.
Well, he dug through
it's
all
bad
that.
Motherfucker
and yeah. found his voice in
he's
it.
Turned into great. And that's what I found about Dan is just in the time we've known him
yeah.
He's had a voice
right.
but he fucking honed it,
he changed it in the left,
and
perfect.
I think it's the podcast that helped
probably.
Him do that
yeah.
helped him figure out who he was and
right.
whereas you know he knew who he was and he was a great comedian
yeah.
before that, but I've really just seen him step it up to another level
yeah.
of just comfort
yeah.
and you can tell it's just coming out of his fucking soul, and it's great shit.
I think that we should raise the voting age, because you don't you don't find who you really are and what you're really about until, and I'm just finding it out now. I'm 38 years old. I just in the last 5 years have found out so much about me.
Isn't it funny that that time, that 3 year window that you shouldn't be able to vote, that's when people get the most tattoos. Isn't that ridiculous? Isn't that, I find that hilarious. I find that so fucking funny.
And the most, really just, you make the worst decision.
If I live to 70, I'll get tattoos, because I'll know what I like. I've liked this for 50 years. I'm tattooing it on me. You know?
This
fuck,
has
man.
Stood the test of time my entire
I've
life.
I've always liked this.
This won't go away.
This is good.
The other joke that I love is the Bill Burr joke of the helicopter pilot. That the guy that to me it's a beautiful joke, because it's the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
a story from
the victim's aspect, from the helicopter pilot, and then from everybody on the ground, and then finally from Bill Burr's perspective when he heard the story. And it's just, it's so beautiful to see all the what he imagines everybody else's view of it is, and then how he took it all in. And at the end, it's just, I hope I have the balls one day. And then drinks to him, and he gets a fucking applause and ridiculous break.
Fucking hilarious.
That I'll never experience as long as I live for a joke. But it's beautiful, and so, it's fantastic.
We have time for like one more question.
Okay,
let's do one more question.
And I'm going to open this phone back
let's
up.
Let's do that, and then we'll call it a day on the Small Town Murder bonus. We're already over our normal time, but we'll spend an extra couple minutes because we really talked about Amy Fisher for a while.
Yeah.
And as good of a conversation that was, really has nothing to do with what we do here.
What's the most surprising result of the podcast to you, and what's the weirdest thing a fan has done?
Those are just two separate questions.
We'll take the result. What's the most fascinating, or is it even fascinating? What was the question? What's the most surprising result of creating this podcast?
The most surprising result?
Yeah.
Of this one?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, the whole idea was to be able to be in control of our own destiny.
Yeah,
and
as a comedian, control of our own careers.
But I think it's still surprising to me how really in control we are.
That's
because
great.
We're able to tell people things that we didn't even realize we were able to tell. Like with the other agent, we were able to tell him, no, we're not playing that in our hometown.
No.
We only play this club.
That's
we
it.
Didn't realize that was an option.
No, now we know.
And we know that we're in control. And
it's kind of nice.
It happens fast.
People that we would have killed to talk to 3 years ago that would have never talked to us, we now say no thank you to them. We don't need you, which it's nice, because we can control our own destiny, and that's all because of you guys.
Right.
But crime and sports, that's the shocking one, that people listened to it at all and gave a shit what we had to say.
Right.
And once we were doing that for a year and we did Small Town Murder, we had a little audience with crime and sports and a loyal audience, and I said, fucking, I was not surprised Small Town Murder worked at all, because I said, the title Small Town Murder, I'd listen to that. Just based on the title, I'd
it'll get at least a try.
Small Town Murder, that sounds pretty good. And then if we don't repulse them too much, we should be able to fucking keep them around.
And you know, it is attributed to the audience that this grew so fast. And it's just that having that little audience that was super loyal, they all tweeted and social media'd the shit out of it, and then told all their friends.
Yeah, that's
who
how you
then
grow.
Have people that trusted them that listened, and they trust, and then they put their trust in other people to listen too.
Fuck yeah, man.
And it just grows, and it's really, really. It's mind blowing at the time. I'd like to say it's humbling. It's not humbling.
It's
because
not humbling.
We're humbling
it's
enough.
Fucking
we're
awesome.
Humbled already. Right.
It's just amazing,
it's
and
just,
we're
fucking.
We're excited about it. We're not humbled. We're fucking psyched.
Right.
I wake up every day psyched.
Yeah.
And to do for this, not for other things, but for this, then it's given me a life that I could fucking not have before.
Right.
Trying to be a comedian, and it's great. We just can't thank you guys enough. And that's our time. So what do you say?
That's been our time. Everybody, I've been Jimmy Wisman, however open micers and their set. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, thanks for your time. I've been James Petrogallo. You guys have a good one. That's been the Small Town Murder bonus episode. Hey, tip your servers. Come on, don't be dicks. Those guys are working hard out there.